Corey.
Oh, hello, Jason.
Falling into a canyon.
Okay. 3, 2.
Welcome to Word of Mouth, a Bozeman Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Corey Feifels.
And I'm your other host, Jason Greenwald.
And we have finds just like you.
Today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. Nancy Pearl is... She's not here. I couldn't lie.
I was like, where is she?
I was going to say she was here, but she's not. I left her
in
my
office.
I left her in my office. But happy new year.
Happy almost February to you as well.
Yes, I know. Mea culpa, we recorded a New Year's podcast, and someone, I'm not naming names, but it rhymes with Mason, dropped the ball and didn't get it produced and out into the world.
But neither of us can really remember what we talked about, so it's not important enough to redo. So we're just moving forward.
That's right. Can't afford to live in the past.
No.
So.
We just talked about Star Wars, we know.
We did talk about Star Wars. And probably most of that was about Adam Driver's scene where his shirt was off.
So. And that's the recap.
There you go.
Now you
see
know
it.
What we've been thinking
see
about.
See it to believe it. we do hope your year is off to a new start. We got a ton of things going on at the library in 2018. No surprise there. We're here to tell you about those things. So let's get started.
So, firstly... We can talk about this great new service we got, lynda.com. We've talked about it before, but we're incorporating that in with our 3D printing technology and offering you a free print of a design of your creation if you take the lynda.com learning Tinkercad, with Casey Holtgren. Is that her name?
Yeah, I believe so. It's called, if you do a search on Tinkercad, you'll find it. It's called Learning Tinkercad. There are a couple courses out there. You want the most recent one because...
Welcome to our lives.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you drive a silver CRV, make sure you go to your car and make sure the lights are off.
Thanks, Michelle.
I don't know if we need... That was a guest spot by Michelle Dorrance.
Via intercom.
So, I don't know. Should we... I kind of want to leave that in.
It's kind of funny.
So, anyway, Tinkercad's changed over the last couple of years, so you just want to make sure you're taking the most recent one. Should be the first result you get. You take it. It's about an hour. It's 1 hour, 33 minutes, I think, in total. Mm-hmm. And then... You take that, you get your certificate of completion, and then that entitles you to a 3D print here at the library. So the idea is you take the class, you then model something in Tinkercad, and then you bring it to one of our drop-in sessions, which we can tell you about in a second, and then you print something. And it's so cool. We already had someone do it the night of the info session.
He'd already taken the Tinkercad course on Lynda and made a really cool tool that's, like, practical for his trade. Mm-hmm. And, brought
jewelry.
Us the file. We sliced it, diced it, sautéed it real nice. Just kidding. We slice it because that's what the software is called. And then we plug it right into our Ultimaker 2 Plus, printed out this really cool tool in blue.
Yeah, it worked.
And a nice royal blue.
Next day he came and picked it up, and I haven't heard back from him, so I'm assuming all went well. He was so eager to do it that he had actually taken the class. He saw the info, taken the class, and came ready to print. So we are having drop-in sessions, so that the idea is a couple different. There are three purposes of the drop-in session.
Lynda is a self-paced learning, but if you want some hands-on help, Jason and I are both offering these drop-in help sessions on Tuesdays in February. the first one is 3 to 5. The following Tuesday is 5 to 7. The following one is 3 to 5, and then again 5 to 7. So hopefully Tuesdays work for you if you need some help. If not, you can probably come in and chase one of us down. We will pretend not to know what you're talking about, but that's that. But you can then get some hands-on help with designing. Maybe learn some tips and tricks, like for designing for printing. I guess what else would you be designing for? But
well, ultimate. I think what you mean is, if I may optimal. Put thoughts and words in your mouth and thoughts in your brain, that there's the design, there's making the design, but then you have to think, there's an additional step with the where you go from the design to the print, where you have to think about how it's oriented and how the printer works. And so there's some extra consideration there.
Yeah, the printer builds something from like the base of our printer up. So it's thinking about that kind of thing. You wouldn't want to, you can't build an ice cream cone.
Right.
Like you'd hold it. You'd have to build it upside down.
Exactly. That's a great, yeah. If you modeled an ice cream cone, sans the ice cream, just the cone, you want actually to invert it because the printer can handle that really well. But if it were right side up, like if you were eating it, it would be, unless you eat your ice cream cones upside down. Why?
I imagine that to be like, sorry, tangent. The Baskin Robbins of my childhood had these clown cones. Do you remember those?
I think I know what you're talking about.
They were upside down cones, yeah. And they were like these crazy, faces, they were like works of art. Yeah. And I don't even, clowns, I'm neither here nor there with clowns. They don't scare me, but I'm not also not going to watch it.
You're so. Not hosting a dinner party for clowns.
It tastes a little funny. No, that's a joke about cannibals. Sorry. Tangent.
Corey's under-caffeinated.
I'm drinking my coffee now, so by the end of this podcast, I'll be spot on.
Yeah. The cannibal references will be
No, that's perfect. A joke. It's like... What's
oh having yeah sure
what
having
did clowns the cannibal clown
sorry
yeah I no see. It's like an actual joke, not one that I made up.
Yeah, sure, gotcha. I'm with you. Okay. Now you know how it ends too. No, I'm kidding, that's not true. I've never seen it
so. I've never seen it either. No, and I have watched a scary movie this weekend for the first time in a really long time, and I'm not so into it.
Okay, hold that thought.
We'll talk about that in podcast corner.
Yeah,
or I'm sorry,
pop culture corner?
Pop culture corner.
No same. One puts baby in a pop culture corner. Okay, so back to Tinkercad. The other idea is like if you need motivation to do the self-paced class and you want to use those times to come in and take the class while we're here, you can certainly do that. And then, like Corey said, answer questions about Tinkercad. And then also when it comes time to do the printing, and export your file for slicing, we can meet with you and look at what's the best way to approach the printing part of it.
Yeah, very important. And I guess should we tell people that if you're designing at home, you can log into your Tinkercad here, so you don't have to worry. Somebody asked about how they would get their file to us.
Right.
You can, Tinkercad we use because it's remote, or I guess like cloud-based learning.
Yeah.
Because it's through the web.
Yeah. No, I don't think we should tell them.
Well, that's all I wanted to tell them.
I'm kidding.
Good news.
I just said that because you had already said it.
Should we tell them this thing that I'm about to tell them anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. You can log into Tinkercad anywhere into your account as long as, of course, you know your username and password. So you don't have to bring the file on a flash drive, although you're certainly welcome to. It's probably better if you log in on one of our computers, so make sure you export to the right file type and so on and so forth. The 3D printer, can I just say, I know you've been on board 100% of the time, and I think I had to warm to it, kind of way
like
the build
filament.
Plate warms up. Oh, we're both going for 3D printer. 3D printer jokes.
Oh, gosh.
And I just, oh my goodness, it is so much fun and so cool to make something. So I hope that if you're listening to this and you're interested at all in just experiencing it once, I highly recommend it. And
it'll change your life.
It'll change your life. You'll see things in a new, in like a third dimension or something. I don't know. That was that was not a well planned. So, ending this part in 3, 2, 1. What else is going on at the library? We have a, I quoted the song by Tears for Fears called Sowing the Seeds of Love.
Which was so clever because the library has both sewing classes and gardening classes.
That's right.
We have, we're bringing back our seed library.
Yay.
With a vengeance. I don't know. Like, you know, like a weed.
Attack of the seeds.
I don't know. Our first gardening class of the year is Thursday, February 15th, growing microgreens. We are growing microgreens here at the reference desk, so stop by and see how they do. We're growing sunflower sprouts, which are my favorite type of sprout. Jason and I had a conversation about sprouts recently.
Very illuminating. I always thought sprouts were sprouts, but it turns out sprouts is more a general term.
He's thinking about alfalfa sprouts.
All the time I'm thinking about alfalfa sprouts.
Don't discount those sunflower sprouts. Those are my fave.
That sounds like a 1920s star.
Sunflower sprouts? Of the
film industry.
Shirley Temple alfalfa, made it big, but alfalfa sprouts. Sprout, not so.
Alfalfa sprouts. Sorry.
Yeah. He was a little rascal. Because
there was an alfalfa, yeah. Sorry.
He was some little rascals. Anyway, so we're having that microgreens growing class evening of February 15th. So stop by.
And can I just say, by the way, on the references, the greens are, I think they were planted
on the 25th.
Recently.
Last Friday.
Last Friday or something. That's right. Last Friday.
Maybe that was the 26th.
Whatever day it was, it's been less than a week, and they are growing. We have sprouts.
Really? I need to go check this out.
Yeah, sprouts. So
they've sprouted?
They've sprouted. The sprouts have sprouted.
They're doing what they're supposed to.
If you were to make a tiny little sandwich, you could probably clip 2 or 3 sprouts, sprout leaves. I don't know what the correct terminology is.
Sprouts?
Yeah. And so it's happening. But
it's happening, BPL.
It's happening. So right by the reference desk is the seed library station. Check that out and look for more classes about gardening in the future now.
Yeah, throughout the spring and summer.
Absolutely. And then let's talk about...
We also have sewing classes.
Yeah.
The library now owns a handful of sewing machines. And we have sewing classes. We're offering the same class twice. On February 17th and February 21st. That's a Saturday and a Wednesday.
Spoiler alert, they're both filled up already.
That's true, but look for more.
Yes.
We were really stoked on how fast they filled up with, like, very little marketing on our part. So
yeah,
it
sells itself.
It sells itself. I was trying to
make it. It sews itself?
Yeah, exactly. These classes so... I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything, but
that's okay. That's like sometimes we're just gonna put it out there, right?
In order to become a true pun master,
yeah.
You have to say every pun that comes into your head, whether or not it's good, and then you have to laugh at it, whether or not it's good, and just accept that all puns are bad, and that to be truly good, they just have to be horribly bad.
Yeah, and our attitude is so what.
So what?
So get it? So sewing? So what? So the
anyway, look for more sewing classes happening at the library too. I'm really excited because I was gifted a sewing machine and I don't know how to use it and I have a lot of projects in my brain.
Yeah. I do, and I have a sewing machine and I've started to learn how to use it, but it's I could definitely benefit from some classes, and I waited a little too long to get signed up. So I won't be doing this round, but I will be on top of the next one. And
it's doing like it. The same as the like Learn with Linda Tinkercad for me. I could probably try and figure this sewing machine out on my own. I could probably look and see if there's stuff on Lynda. I'm sure, like threading a bobbin. Well, never mind. Spoiler alert, there's not. But so, there are probably on YouTube. But
yes, there
for
are.
Me, I need a little direction. You know, yeah. I need to come to a sewing class. I'm yeah. never going to look it up on YouTube. I've had the sewing machine in a box in my living room since like June.
That's exactly
if that's any indication of
how I learned how to I do work. It. I watched a YouTube video, but then when you're watching a video, there's, you know, there is a limitation there. The person can't say, oh no, do this or hold it this way.
I think it's also helpful after you've had your initial I can look at the YouTube videos after I come to the sewing class because I've already been to one class. I don't know.
Agreed.
I don't know. That's just how we learn.
Agreed.
Personal hour.
So sewing, gardening, 3D printing.
Yeah.
Those
we've
are
got
just
our book club in February, as always, on Tuesday night. This month, it's a gentleman in Moscow.
Yeah, just tons of stuff. That's Moscow, Russia, not Moscow, Idaho, just to be clear.
I haven't read it. I didn't know that.
Oh,
how could you let me down?
I haven't read it either. I guess I just assumed.
It's probably Russia. Yeah.
So, all right. So, see you at the library. It's time for our pop culture corner.
And Jason called this one What We're Consuming.
What We're Consuming, which sounds
hilarious. I'm drinking a cortado right now.
Yeah, I'm having some water. And it sounds like we're eating pizza here. What are you consuming?
Well, pepperoni. I had an avocado toast for breakfast.
Get
it's
out.
True.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. You know what? Because
you are the stereotype.
This is why I can't afford my life. Avocado toast.
Is that an... Okay, let's just... Before we get into what we're watching, listening to, viewing, that's the same as watching. Mm-hmm. I doubled down. What is avocado toast? Is it toast made from avocados?
It's a topping on toast. So this morning, I took my loaf of bread out of the fridge. I put two pieces of toast in the toaster. And when they came out, I needed to turn my toaster up just... So I did for tomorrow morning.
Oh, good to
know.
Because
they weren't toasted as much as I prefer them to be.
Next podcast, we'll check in and see how
my
that
toast
setting
turned out.
Was.
Anyway, and then when my toast came out, I cut open an avocado. And I got a big avocado yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it was actually ripe, which finding a good avocado in Bozeman in the winter is
tough.
Like hunting for gold.
You got to plant. I usually, if I'm going to do something with avocado, it's, 4 days out. And I have to be flexible in case it ripens sooner
or
later.
Yesterday I went to the grocery store and I was like, this is, what? I better buy two. So
wow.
I did.
So you just spread some avocado on it instead of like peanut butter or honey?
Exactly. And, some mornings I do go for peanut butter and honey. But when I'm feeling more savory, and then I put a little salt and pepper on it and turmeric. Because turmeric's a really good spice for you.
That sounds pretty good. I mean,
it's not bad.
To me, avocado is just guacamole minus the onions and tomatoes. So
I was going to say, there's more in guacamole
I know
than
that.
Just onion.
I'm just saying that's basically the difference. So if you said, would you eat a piece of toast and spread a little guacamole on it?
Heck
sure.
Yeah, I would.
Of course I would.
Yeah.
What kind of... But are avocados abnormally expensive? I mean, I know here
in
they're
this
going
area,
to be more
I think so.
But...
Oh, no. So the reason Jason asked me this question is because you may have noticed on the internet, people give millennials a lot of flack for everything. But one of the funnier articles that came out, which I don't think was supposed to be funny, but boy, was it, was saying that millennials are, ruining this, that, the other. They can't afford to buy houses because they spend all their money on avocado toast. So, for example, I had this loaf of bread in my freezer, so I don't even know how much money it cost. Probably like $4. But that's for a whole loaf of bread.
Maybe even less.
And then an avocado. Well, it was gluten-free, so probably
$4.
$4,
true.
And then I bought an avocado yesterday for $2.50, which I think is expensive for an avocado, but still not that bad considering I only used like a fourth of it today.
Right. You can use that for several pieces
right.
of
toast. Right, so like my breakfast made at home was like 50 cents a dollar, something like that, But it's true that toast is trendy, and as far as restaurants go, You can go to restaurants that I will not name right now here in Bozeman that will charge you $5 for a single piece of toast. And yes, it's a really nice slice of bread, but if you, it comes with, like, imagine, let's say cream cheese and avocado and, like, let's say those three sunflower sprouts.
Right.
Is that a $5?
Right.
Is that a $5 meal?
No, it's quite
when
a bit
I
of
just
market.
Told you how much I could made it for at home.
Gotcha.
But hey, so millennials deserve to go out to eat too.
So it's
sorry, we're only
it's
eating
a myth.
Toast.
It's the whole thing is just a myth being perpetuated, probably by older generations who
or
are
self-sabotaging millennials.
Are, yeah,
who knows?
I you know what? I'm going to the next Gen X meeting, so I'll ask about that. Like, do we really need to be on, you know, the millennials' case about
I always
toast?
See them crying. Maybe, can we let them? Yeah. Just let them live a little.
Maybe we should try it and just see. Maybe it's really good. So now we've solved
it's
that
delicious.
Problem and mystery. I mean, I kind of thought, well, if you put a I didn't understand that whole avocado toast.
The joke is
name.
Because you'll pay $6 for it.
I mean,
at
I
breakfast,
just
when you also buy a $4 coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've spent $10 on breakfast and then. That's why you don't have any money.
For me, it was a conceptual, like, I saw a piece of toast, but it was green, and it melted in the toaster, and I didn't understand what was going on there. Totally straightened out there. So
I know what I'm printing next on the printer. Piece of avocado toast.
We're going to get some green filament and print some avocado toast. I know, I honestly haven't been.
We're consuming.
Yeah, what we're consuming, avocado toast. I have not watched a whole lot of anything lately, and I've been listening to a few podcasts, nothing out new or out of the ordinary. I did read a book that was interesting to me that was very much outside of my, I guess, my normal reading habits. Which I'm happy to talk about. I read Norse Myths, I think, with an S, by Neil Gaiman. And I've never read any myths before. I have read things like The Power of Myth with the interview series with Bill Moyers and Joseph Campbell, where they talk about myths kind of as a, you know, standing back from that as an academic study, but never just read a book about myths. And I'm normally a nonfiction person, and I think I'm going through either a midlife crisis or some kind of change where all of a sudden I read it and I just enjoyed it, and I wasn't thinking the whole time, like, what is the point of this? And
was it in fiction?
Yeah.
That's so interesting, because this off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better about knowing the Dewey number straight up, but I'm sure there's a Dewey number for mythology.
There is.
So that's why I think it's interesting.
Well,
that
okay.
They were. Okay, go on.
I shouldn't say it was in fiction. It was in Most Wanted. It was actually.
What was the call number on the side?
Well, I didn't look at it.
That's
because
okay.
I'm not that
librarian
preoccupied
versus
with that.
Technology.
But you brought up something that I really think I want to talk about just briefly, because I feel like. So I, as everyone knows, I'm not a librarian, but I've played one in real life. And something that people just assume is I assumed it, so I assume other people assume it, that the Dewey Decimal System doesn't account for fiction. But that just isn't true. It does.
The 800s.
It's just that it's so massive that someone said let's split it out. Yeah, let's split it out. So the idea that Dewey Decimal System is just nonfiction, of course, is a myth. Oh,
ooh.
That would go in the
Air
800s.
It would, and since you're American, it would go in the 8, like 10s.
Yeah.
So that's how.
So that's why you could find tall tales in the Dewey Decimal System in the nonfiction section.
And that's you'll find poetry.
Exactly.
And in the 800s.
And I just said the nonfiction section, and I, after just telling you the whole thing, that it's not strictly nonfiction. So, but and here's the thing. I have to tell this part because you have no choice but to listen because you're tethered to this
captive audience.
And when I was in the car, I got to work, and I was doing that thing where I'm thinking about, you know, what am I going to read next? I need a book. And I was thinking, actually, you know what would be really interesting is to read about some myths. I've never read any myths, and I have a book at home about it, but I have packed it up, and so I didn't know where it was. So I thought maybe I'll look for some books about myths. And then I swear, also on the walk from the car to the library in the parking lot, it occurred to me, I've only read one book by Neil Gaiman. And I follow him on Twitter, and he seems like a really funny, interesting person. And I just thought, maybe I'll look for Neil Gaiman. And then I walked in on the most wanted shelf. I looked at it. First thing I saw, Norris Smith's by Neil Gaiman. I thought, I'm just picking that up and checking it out.
What's the other Neil Gaiman book you've read? I've also only read one thing by Neil Gaiman.
The Graveyard Book.
Oh, okay.
Which I really enjoyed. And so, and I feel like he has a distinct writing style for someone who hasn't read him a lot.
I read The Ocean at the End of the Lane. It's a shorty.
Oh, okay.
But haven't read if it. You like Neil Gaiman. Yeah. That was my like introduction into Neil Gaiman. Yeah, because he does have a distinct style that maybe isn't my total jive.
Right, the four.
But I don't dislike it. It's just not what I choose. There's a lot of books out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot.
Yeah. I think in the past I've been like Spock. Like, you know, why would you read a story about something that it's just there? What is the purpose of this? And then I realized it's to entertain, it's to educate.
Oh, I've never thought that. Like, what's the purpose of this? That's interesting. Well,
I mean,
I've
of
never
mythology or of fiction. I've always gravitated
I've never
to not,
thought
really.
About that. That's just an interesting. Yeah. I would have never thought that.
I don't think I. Yeah.
I love mythology. I don't know much about Norse mythology.
Yeah.
I like Greek mythology.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm gonna get into that and probably explore it a little more deeply. So that's what I did. That's just what I read recently that I thought, and I highly recommend it to everyone. And plus, you'll understand a lot of the Marvel stuff that with Thor and
Thor's
Loki
hammer.
and Ragnarok and all that stuff. So
isn't that the hammer's name?
No, the hammer's name is not that. It is something with an M and a J, like Mjolnir or something like that. And Ragnarok is like the end of times battle between all the Norse gods and giants.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
stuff.
Anything about Norse mythology, so. As noted, and, as and noted
I,
now.
I barely know any now. I'm hardly an authority. So what about you, Corey? What have you been into lately? Anything worth noting?
I'm not really reading anything right now, but I need to kind of get on that because our One Book, One Bozeman committee is kind of putting forth our ideas for the next big community read. And so I have a deadline and I need to put forth some ideas. So I'm going to do some book research today, which is super fun. I've been watching some good movies. Some friends and I started a movie club just at like somebody's house on Sunday nights.
Like dinner club, but movies.
Yeah, but movies. And each week it's somebody else's turn to choose a movie and they keep it secret until until we're all sitting down with our popcorn like, all right, here
so
we
you can't
go.
IMDb it.
Exactly. And, yeah. And that was probably intentional because this week we watched a horror movie and I probably wouldn't have gone.
Right, we
because I'm not into scary movies.
Alluded to that. So what was it? What was the movie?
So it's a movie from 2009. It's an Australian movie called The Loved Ones. And my friend Gabrielle, who chose this movie, is probably so happy that I'm talking about it. Because I'd never heard of it or anybody in it or the director or anything. But it's this Australian horror movie, and it was so creepy. It's not like jumpy scary, but just like I had to pull my scarf up over my eyes and not watch because just a little too graphic, some of it. It's not like graphic like Saw. Like those movies that are like horror just for the sake of horror. And like, ugh, I just can't do it. But this one was kind of funny. There was like, I don't know. It was a really good movie, but I would have probably never sought it out. And I don't know if we, actually, she looked it up. We don't currently own it at the library, but you can rent it at Movie Lovers.
Was there at any point, was there like a protagonist who like fought back and yelled. Yeah,
that's like the whole movie.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Well, so my friend, I was really thankful to be sitting next to a friend of mine who was making light of the whole. He was, oh yeah, mate. Like every time there was something really, really dark, he would say something really funny. But man, it was crazy. Like torture, lobotomy. Made me not really want to travel to Australia, but I do actually want to travel to Australia. Yeah,
totally.
So that's the most recent thing I watched.
The Loved Ones?
Yeah, The Loved Ones, Australian horror film. I also watched The Motorcycle Diaries last week. I'm in a Spanish class right now, so I've been trying to do a lot of things in Spanish. So I'm listening to a lot of Spanish music. We see Niandel. Luis Fonsi. I could keep going. So I've been listening to a lot of Spanish music, and I watched Motorcycle Diaries, which is another really good movie, but it's also, I don't know, probably 10 years old now.
Yeah.
It's 2018, y'all.
I remember that. I remember I didn't see it. I didn't watch the movie, but I saw.
The library does own that.
Information about it.
And it's really great, and it's really beautiful, and it made me want to travel through.
Where was it filmed?
South America. They're on a motorcycle trip from, I can't remember now where they start. Argentina, I think. Okay. And they go up to Ecuador and then they kind of, travel around. So they go, through Brazil and Chile and all just, this crazy.
Just living life.
Just living life. And they're doctors. And so they, it's just, it was really beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, unlike The Loved Ones.
The Loved Ones.
Well, anything else? Any outstanding business you'd like to take care of on this pod?
No, go see The Last Jedi so you can see Adam Driver. And a great role, by the way.
Kylo Ren.
Not just the, emo Kylo Ren, exactly. Not just for the shirtless scene, but just because it's a good movie. And that's about it.
All right. Well, that closes another chapter of Word of Mouth. Remember to subscribe to the podcast.
Yes, you can find BPL Word of Mouth on SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Get in touch with us on our Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram. Maybe one day we'll do a call-in episode. We won't.
Let's do that. Yeah. Mom, I told you not to call.
All of our events and much more is available on our website at bozemanlibrary.org.
And I meant to ask you, should we have a new catchphrase for 2018?
Sure.
Well, we'll have to discuss it.
It puts the lotion on its skin. Goodbye. Just kidding.
Okay.
That's taken. I think I've heard that.
I don't
somewhere.
Know if I'll be able to edit that, but that was intense. Yeah, or keep doing to keep from mildewing, as my grandmother used to say. We'll work on a new catchphrase for the next one, okay?
Yeah, this will be fun.
Make sure your avocado is ripe.
You know, you can just peel off the little nub to tell on your avocado. So you've got the avocado. I'm making hand motions now, everyone at home. Hold your avocado. There's like that little, it's like a belly button on your avocado at the top.
Yeah, at the top that has.
So if you don't know if it's ripe because you can't feel it because you have no sensory perception, I don't know. If you need to see it, you can peel off the little belly button and it's supposed to be like a perfectly like avocado green.
Holy cow, I didn't know that.
Welcome to the library where you learn something new every day.
Go out into the world, prosper, folks.
We're working on those catchphrases.
Bye.
Bye.